What up, marihuaneras? It is I, your most obedient and subservient host, Mala Munoz, and I am recording this voice memo inside of a closet, inside of the bathroom, in the hotel room where I am staying with my friends in San Diego, LA, Stacy, and Lainey. Now, these are two of my nearest and dearest friends from college, and we have not seen each other since before the pandemic. So we got together for a cute little SoCal road trip. We started off in Joshua Tree, aka the high desert, and we have been getting high the entire time. We've made it down to San Diego. We're gonna do a SEAL tour. We're hanging out in Little Italy. We're having the time of our effing lives. So this cute little interview that you're about to listen to was recorded between me and LA. So fun fact, LA and I actually started our radio careers together in college during undergrad. So we talk about that during this episode. So light up, tune in, and enjoy the fucking show.
She's a depressed 20-something with a college degree who copes with life by smoking too much weed. Dodging cochinos as she rolls down the street.
Oye, mami, I wanna be your dog.
Aim higher, pendejo.
She's la marihuanera, as seen on IG.
That's me.
Mari, 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 marihuanera. Mari, 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 marihuanera. Marihua.
Oh, she's so high.
The high desert.
The high desert.
29 Palms, specifically.
29 Palms.
Just outside of Joshua Tree.
A little bit past it. We're very close, though.
We're super close.
You can hike.
Close enough.
If you wanted to. It's like a 15-minute drive.
Yeah. It's a gorgeous location. We're staying in an adorable Airbnb.
Gorgeous. I feel like it's perfect. It's like quintessential, like, Palm Springs. If you've ever watched any of those, like, Palm Spring makeover shows on whatever station, I cannot remember right now. It's that. You walk in, it's kind of like, what is it, like 70s decor?
Very 70s.
Like, very much that. It's a beautiful pool, a little like V-ish shaped pool.
Yes, an oasis.
An oasis.
In a the rock desert. Garden. Yes. A succulent garden.
Two cactuses, baby ones.
Little cacti.
Baby cacti.
They've got Hulu. They've got Roku.
Yes, with a set volume. They said no noise complaint to this Airbnb.
We cannot raise the volume.
We cannot raise the volume.
We tried really hard.
Honestly, we were like scaling the TV. Like, where's the button on this smart TV?
There's not one button on that TV.
Yeah, you really have to use this Roku, and that's it. He said, you will not get a noise complaint.
There's not a second remote.
Have it. This is the set volume. These are your two apps. Use it. Be done.
Yeah.
But I appreciate our host, honestly.
Quinn.
Yes, Quinn.
On top of it.
Very on top of it. Sent us a very detailed email. Everything we needed to know.
Yes.
We had someone try to murder us. I texted him immediately. He's like, no one should be at the house. I'll check the security camera.
And the person who tried to murder us was in a SoCal gas company truck and in a uniform.
So maybe...
I mean, all he did was knock on the door.
But he didn't answer when I said, who is this?
And you did ask.
I did ask, who is this? And he just stood there for 5 minutes. Like, that's the thing. It'd be one thing if he had, like, rung the bell again.
He didn't.
He didn't. And that's what made me nervous.
We've seen too many Ring camera horror story videos.
I know a friend personally had someone try to break into her apartment. As a result, she got a Ring camera because if it wasn't for her deadbolt, like on top, like they would have been in her home.
Fuck,
and they try to say, like, I was getting into the restaurant because, like, the apartments are situated next to restaurants.
Lies.
Lie. How do you walk into an apartment building and claim to try to be getting into a restaurant?
No.
So it's been too many, and that is a personal story. Like a person I know.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so she has a ring. I haven't been convinced to get one yet. I'm really honestly putting my trust in the Lord. I feel like I live in a very nice building. And yeah. I truly think that if you make it into my building and you make it up to, like, you know, my floor, like, at that point, you deserve whatever you came for. Actually, unless it was, like, me. If you came for me, then, like, you don't deserve that. But it was, like, my couch, my table, like, good for you.
If it's an inanimate object fine, you take
passed,
it.
You passed the levels.
Like, you get to have, you can have it.
So, yeah. So we're here.
So we're here in J Tree adjacent, 29 Palms.
Love it.
If you hear a sudden noise and you hear us gasp, it's because we're scared. Because we're alone in the desert.
It's windy.
It's very windy.
And we're recording from a garage.
A garage because it's the quietest place in the house.
It is. And it's off the master bathroom, which is odd. Very interesting.
Odd layout.
Very odd place for the garage door to be.
Yeah.
But every now and then the wind is very... A lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
And it feels like someone's trying to break into the garage.
It literally, we like looked out the window.
I did. I went back into the bathroom.
We already had an experience today.
Exactly. Can you imagine twice in one day?
Fuck that.
No.
They're like, there are women here.
We know.
Everyone knows.
There's a car parked out.
That's a woman's car.
They've been sitting in the backyard, tits out, for 2 days.
We saw them.
We saw them.
We were watching.
We were watching. We've listened to them cackle.
The neighbors north of us can see into the yard.
So I didn't know that. So I went outside today because I was a little bit cold.
It was chilly.
It was chilly. And I go outside and they sit and I'm wearing a one piece. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I decide to like just be like folded over a little bit. And I was like, I'm just going to let my tits hang. I kind of fell asleep sitting.
So cute.
And then Mala comes out and she's like... Oh, I can see the neighbor, and if I can see them, they can see us. I was like, I've been like this for an hour. Like, what?
And to be clear, we are wearing matching, like, highlighter, green, yellow.
Yes.
Bathing suits.
We are.
I want you to picture us. It's LA, it's me, we're in a garage, in the desert, in highlighter green bathing suits, like, we like configured a desk and found a way to set up the mic, and we're right next to the washer and dryer.
Which I will be using at the end of this trip.
Absolutely.
Because I packed, I felt as if I was like going abroad for a month. I have a large suitcase.
I mean, you came... It's no, the wind.
It is the wind. But that one felt very, like...
Aggressive.
Like, steps.
That one. It also, mind you, it's the middle of the day, dear listeners. Like, it's not late at night. Like, it's very sunny outside. Oh, yeah. So that's technically the middle of the day, I think. In the desert.
In the desert.
It's not gonna... Get dark until, what, like, 9?
Yeah, it was really late. It was really late. I don't mind it being light for as long as it is.
I like it.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
And it keeps out the sun very well in the house. Mm-hmm. One, the majority of the rooms in the house does not have light.
No, there's no overhead lights.
There is not. I don't really see a lot of lamps around. They said the kitchen has a light, the bathrooms have a light, and that's all you need.
You don't need to see anything.
You don't need to see in your room.
Go to sleep.
Go to bed.
It's after 9. It's dark outside.
They said, what do you have to stare at? What are you looking at?
It's the high desert. Go to bed.
Go to bed. Wake up with the sun and go to sleep with the sun.
Factually. But we decided, like, we have to record. We've been talking about recording together for some time.
Well, here's the thing. This is our second time.
Chess.
This is our second time because if you were like an OG, you've dug through the Instagrams, you've done your research, you would have known this is not our first time on a mic together.
Oh, no.
You gotta go to our origin story.
If you're a real fan, a real listener, and a real follower,
you know
where we started our radio career.
Oh my gosh.
Tell them, LA.
Abroad, baby.
Abroad, bitch.
We were in the UK, good old London town.
Good old London town.
And
good
there
times.
We were, two Americans abroad. And you know what we said? We're gonna start a radio station.
MJ Murphy.
And
American Fly. Yeah.
With two Y's. So that these little British hoes know.
Doubly fly. MJ.
Yes.
Who is?
So Dr. Murphy.
Has been a guest on Locatora Radio before.
Yes. Facts.
Also our dear friend.
Also our dear friend from Tufts. So Mala and I met in undergrad, right? We both went to Tufts University. Shout out, gang,
Go
gang.
Jumbos.
Go Jumbos. Class of 2014.
Et cetera, et cetera.
Best class. I will say it all the classes true. After it's us. It's true. And before us, too.
Except and for everyone 2012. Knows.
2012. Except for 2012. Wow, that was a good year. Good
MJ's year.
MJ, Amanda, Ariel, Aaron,
others.
2012.
Good Shout year. Out 2012.
Yes, but you 2014.
They all
facts.
Listen. They all listen.
They'll be listening.
They follow.
So, again, Mala and I, we are little baby freshmen. Yeah. We come to college. We are not friends,
right.
But we know the non-white community at Tufts is very tiny.
Yes.
And I'm really thinking about the
very
Black
intimate.
And Latinx community.
Yes,
right?
Specifically.
No offense to our Asian brethren.
No offense. Shout out La Casa, shout out K-Pen.
Yeah, facts.
That's all.
And so when it's time to do the study abroad application sophomore year, we're both applying, whatever else, we get in separately. Again, unbeknownst to us, we're not that.
We're not checking in with each other and
yeah,
talking.
Yeah, no, it's oh, that's that girl. Yeah, I know who she is. you know? Mm-hmm. And so we both get in and we tell our respective friends, including 2012, and they're like, you need to know this person, right? Of all the people, they're like, no.
Yeah.
You two need to know each other.
People were telling you that. And
yes.
Then people were also telling me that.
Yes.
And it was mostly MJ.
It was mostly MJ.
Telling each of us this.
It was like, no.
We have to become friends.
You guys need to be friends. So, it is time for us to leave the country, pretty much, right? It is the summer.
Before our junior year.
And, I consider myself a very efficient person.
Organized.
On top of things. And so, the whole time, I'm, texting, and I'm like, can't wait to meet you. It's going to be so fun for us to hang out abroad. Blah, blah, blah. Did you get your visa? And the whole time, the responses are like, haha, yeah, I'm going to work on that. And I'm just like, okay. This is a process. You have to,
it
get a
time.
Visa photo. You have to get it processed. You have to send your passport. So I'm kind of what is she thinking? Very relaxed. And I'm like, you know what? This is not necessarily my friend. I don't need to be hyper concerned. But I'll see her abroad. So I get on my flight, and the whole program is there.
Yes.
Except for Mala. And the first, week is, us doing orientation, right? So it's, orientation, we're taking you on trips, we're seeing the changing of the guards, all these super touristy stuff. And people are like, oh, so LA, where's your friend? I was like, that's not my friend. I don't know where she is, though.
She's coming.
She'll be there eventually, but also, don't associate me with this person who hasn't gotten on their flight.
I did wait till the final hour, and I was like, oh, it's a little too late now, huh?
Is it?
But I did it. I got there a week later.
You did get there a week later. And I remember, we had a friend in our program, Harsha.
Shout out Harsha.
Who I guess saw when Mala was moving in and came to me. She was like, your friend is finally here. you should go say hi to her. And I was like, again? Okay, cool. So I do. I go and it,
your friend?
Your friend.
Decided to come to school.
she decided she would join us. She decided to get on the flight. And so yeah, I walked into Mala's room and it was instant. I felt it wasn't even it was just as if we'd known each other our entire lives.
And I remember you were wearing a hoodie.
Oh my God, you remember what
shorts,
I was wearing? Oh my
flip flop.
It is also very Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I grew up. That's how all the boys, girls, everyone walked around. Isn't it?
It's Lainey. Hold on. Lainey is our friend.
Yes, who's also joining us in the desert.
Another Tufts grad.
2014, gang gang.
She's checking in because she's getting us emergency refills of liquor.
Oh my God, we ran out. So you guys, here's the thing.
Here's the deal.
Trader Joe's is my favorite store, my favorite grocery store. I love Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed. I walk in and I'm like, this is a new product.
Yes.
I have not seen this. I've not heard of it. And in California. And in California, their flagship state. So I obviously... Mom was like, we gotta go grocery shopping before this. And I'm like, can we go to Trader Joe's?
Absolutely. And to Trader Joe's we went.
And so Trader Joe's just came out, like, I feel like in the last few weeks, with their own brand of tequila. So we get two bottles. And I have a perfect margarita recipe. Check me out on TikTok at the LA Stacy. And I was just like, you know what? I'm gonna make us margs. Okay, so don't you know that was yesterday? And today, as of this moment, we have no more alcohol except for a bottle of Grand Marnier that I'm not going to drink straight. That has to be mixed into a margarita.
Must be. We are well fed.
We are well fed. We've been keeping ourselves fed and hydrated and very, very cross-faded.
As it should be.
Yes. So I went to a dispensary for the first time.
So you went to a dispensary like in Culver City.
I went in Culver City. I went
High Notes.
So here's the thing. I'd never been to a dispensary before, right? New York just made this legal like 2 days ago.
Very recently.
I also don't live in New York anymore, so really not my business what they do as a state. And so we go there and it's my first time there. First of all, like the entrance, it's on a corner.
Yeah.
And so the Uber dropped us like around the other corner, the door's on one side, and then when you go around the corner, you can see it. Anyways, we checked in. She gave us a little card, like, it's buy one, get one 30% on your first. And then I texted Molly immediately, like, oh my God, it says that I get a discount every time I come back. And she's like, that's every dispensary.
First time.
I was like, this isn't special.
I'm like, go to every single dispensary.
Go everywhere.
And get a first time deal. Everywhere you go.
Which makes sense. Mm-hmm, but, so my friend bought, like, almost $100 worth of stuff. Like, pre-rolls, edibles.
Easy to do.
Yeah, very easy. I brought myself one little edible. So here's the thing about me. In my journey with, I guess, weed in general.
Yes.
Is that for the majority of my life.
Where did it begin?
Where did it begin?
What's the origin?
The origin, like, the first... The first time that I ever smoked was high school.
Mm.
Please don't tell my mother. Like,
I will not tell
thank
your mother.
God.
LA and I, we keep secrets for each other from our mothers.
Has to. Even though our mothers have probably met one time.
Like, at graduation.
At graduation.
But we have each met each other's mothers.
Yeah. Like, my mom made sorrel and she was like, bring this to Mala's mother. Like, you know, she knows who I'm talking about. And my mom doesn't pay all that much attention to like every single friend I have, but she knows.
She knows.
So the first time I ever smoked was high school. And this is why this is important. The first time I got in trouble for it, I wasn't smoking. I hadn't done anything. I went driving with two of my friends and we're driving around Connecticut and it's this white girl and one of my friends. She and me and this girl from our cheerleading team, because I was a cheerleader and everyone finds that to be very shocking.
Yes, you were.
I was a cheerleader. So this girl from our cheerleading team, driving around, and we stop, and she's just like, y'all want to smoke? And I'm like, this is not my business. No. So it's like a bowl. So she like packs it, whatever else. LA, you have to try this. And she like literally forces it into my mouth. And I blew it. Like, blew.
Out,
I didn't suck
out.
It. Yeah, out. And so it like scatters all over me. And this... bitch starts picking at me everywhere, like trying
picking
to pick it up.
The weed.
Yes. And you I'm like, stop waste. Touching me.
You can't waste the weed.
I get dropped back. So we were in this boarding program. That is a whole other story.
Yes.
And so they drop me back at the house, sleeps over, right?
Okay.
This white girl, our friend at the time, cheerleader's house. I go back and I'm like, strip my clothes. I'm like, throw it in the laundry. Not suspicious at all. Go upstairs to my bed and go to sleep. Well, the next morning, one of the other girls, an underclassman, because at this point I think I might have been a senior, snitches. Yes! Little rats. And it's like, oh, it smelled like weed. We don't want to say anything. Blah. So you can get kicked out of a fucking program for stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Which is terrible because I'm like, here's the thing. Back then,
the laws were different. Things were different. You could get in serious trouble.
Serious trouble. And also, it was also just kind of the person I was. So for me to get in trouble for something that I didn't even do, let's just be clear, that I hadn't done anything.
You literally exhaled.
I literally was just like, don't put this drug in my body against my will.
Because my temple.
For real.
Not my temple.
And so, anyways, the director, like, tries to call me, and they do all this, whatever else, and they're freaking out, I'm freaking out. And so I tell my mom, and my mom was like, if you tell me you didn't do it, then I will handle this. And I was like, Mom, I did not smoke weed, which was true.
That's a fact.
And don't you know my Jamaican mother, thank God for her.
Queen.
She had their asses. She had it. How dare you?
Yep.
How dare you accuse my daughter of this? And then on top of that, instead of having a conversation with her, because she's old enough to have a conversation with, you call me and threaten me and tell me that you're kicking her out of this program, even though you've had no conversations with her. How dare you?
Absolutely not.
Had their asses.
Good.
Shout out to Mitzi.
Shout out Mitzi.
Oh, God, I love my mom.
Ultimate queen.
So, yeah, so I did smoke in high school. Not that time, though.
A different time.
So this time, I was definitely a senior. That other time, I could have possibly... I really do think I... No, I had to be a senior because I went through 4 directors during this program. And so the director that I had at this time, I did not like her. And I know she knows I did not like her.
She knows.
She does. We're Facebook friends. And if she hears this, then she'll know.
She'll definitely confirm.
I don't care. Because you don't do something to, like,
a literal child.
Like, you're an adult. You need to learn how to communicate. And again, accusations that get someone kicked out of a program.
That's major.
Their senior year.
Very major.
It's a no for me. I was done with this woman at this point. So that was my senior year. So the first time that I actually smoked, went to one of my other friend's house. Okay, different girl. Someone in my year, because this girl was younger than us. And it was fun. Actually, it wasn't fun. That's a lie. My first time smoking was terrible.
It was horrible.
We went to her house, and everyone's, like, outside, like, you know, smoking, doing whatever. I inhaled once, and I felt like I couldn't breathe. Like, I literally was just, like, air is not coming into my body.
Yeah.
And the whole time I'm thinking is, like, is this how I'm going to go out, Lord?
Oh, no.
For smoking weed that I told my mom that I would never do? Are you kidding me?
How do we explain this?
So I'm like, they get me inside. I lay down on the couch and everyone goes back outside and finishes smoking. And that was really my night. That was everything I remember.
But you know what? I feel like that's a very, like, honest, organic, first time smoking
I also
weed.
Have asthma. So I think I was so, for a very long, like, long time, I was just like, I can't do this. But the second time I smoked was very beautiful. The same girl's house. Anyways, but we go into the, like, woods of Connecticut. There's a lake. It's like sunset. And, like, we smoke and I'm like, this is the most magical experience of my life. This is beautiful.
Beautiful.
I was like, this makes sense. I get why people do this. We're just sitting there overlooking this sunset. And then when we had to leave to get food, though, the paranoia kicked in. I was like, I'm a good girl. Everyone's going to find out I smoked. Why? I'm, like, hiding behind the car when we got out so that, like, other kids in my neighborhood don't see me.
This is so wild to me, too, because it's like, the things that make us feel good, right? Like, we're so scared. Weed makes me feel good. Having sex makes me feel good. Like,
yes,
what are people going to say or think? Taking tests makes me feel like shit.
Facts. True.
Taking out loans and going to school makes me feel like shit.
And the good things that came from that experience
are, like, the secret things.
The secret things.
But we brag to people about the things that, like, actually, this was the most traumatic, depressing trauma. Era.
The trauma.
That was my saddest era.
I was super sad, so sad senior year of high school. I was so done with this program.
Oh, yeah.
I was so ready to go to Tufts. I was like, get me out of this. And if it wasn't for the fact that it was such a terrible experience, would I have been trying to smoke weed? Probably not. Yeah, so I got to college and I was just like, woo, I drink now.
Yeah.
And I'm on campus. And like most of my smoking experiences at Tufts were with the La Casa, with the Latinos. It really was.
We need to talk about Tufts. Like, so...
So, yeah, so I smoked Tufts. Those 2 times, yes. And then I came to Tufts, right? Like,
this is senior year of high school. Graduate, summer, Tufts University.
Mm-hmm.
Freshman year, Medford/Somerville.
Yes. Tufts was my first choice. Mm-hmm. I did feel like I was cheating for a second because I actually applied to ED to Columbia.
Mm.
They put me on the, what's the one?
Not waitlist.
Deferred. They deferred me. I'm a dramatic person. I've come to accept it.
It hit you very hard.
No, it did not. I sent them an email immediately and was like, take me off your deferred list. I will not be attending. Dramatic. People were like, you didn't want to find out. What's there to find out? They didn't choose me. Like, that's it.
If you don't want me, then don't talk to
me. Yeah, you either want me now.
If you don't want me, then leave me alone.
So that was it. Yeah,
I didn't know this.
Yeah, again, a very dramatic child. I didn't see myself as dramatic before. I thought that was very normal behavior. And like,
fuck you, Columbia. I reject your deferred.
I did. I literally was like,
good for you. No. Honestly, cheers to that.
Yeah, cheers.
Fuck the Ivy League.
I mean, I went there later.
You are literally an Ivy League graduate. Columbia.
So yeah, anyways, I ended up applying ED2 to Tufts. I like went to my guidance counselor. I was just like, I made a mistake. I know I cheated emotionally on Tufts with Columbia. I thought this was a good thing, but it's not. I want to go to Tufts. And she was like, and you can. You don't have to do whatever you're doing right now. Like,
it's fine.
Let's get your application to Tufts.
It's like, perfectly all right.
It's okay.
It's still an option.
It's like, it hasn't gone away. Like, we haven't even hit the spring semester. This was early decision rounds, right? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. So, I got an ED2 to Tufts, which was great. I think I'd heard back from, like, maybe one or two other schools. Again, immediately emailed all the other schools, like, I don't need to know your decision. People were like, you didn't want to hear about the financial package. I was like, no, I'm going to Tufts.
Wow.
If it was up to me.
You were very, your mind was.
I'm a very one-track minded kind of person. If it was up to me, high school, genuinely, I would have applied to 2 schools.
Mm-hmm.
Tufts and Columbia.
Mm.
Obviously, my guidance counselor said, you cannot do that. Like,
right.
I was like, I'll apply to UConn as a safety. And she was like, and you still can't do that. I need you to apply.
A couple more. To give some us more. Schools.
So I applied to 7. Like, when I hear stories about people who were like, I am applying to 15 and 20 and 30. I'm like, for what reason?
Right.
Why did you have that energy?
I applied to 12. It's a lot of school.
Yeah, it's...
And it was like our college counseling was a class that met as part of our schedule, like a block.
See.
It was very
hardcore. But you went to a more intense, like, thing. Because even though I was, like, boarding, it was a public high school. Like, in Connecticut.
But it was a boarding option.
The boarding option, yeah. So, anyways.
But, I mean, yes. It's, like, the more the merrier when it comes to Apple. But they're expensive.
That's the thing.
And time-consuming.
I was like, I'm going to Tufts or I'm going to Columbia. For me, it's just, like, I said it. That's it. That's what's happening.
You manifested.
Yeah. And
before
so
obviously, manifesting was a thing.
And so I went. I went to Tufts. And so, yeah, when people ask about undergrad, I love talking about it. It was a hot mess for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, it really was. We had fun.
We had fun. I met my best friends.
Hell yeah. We have so many friends that we hardcore.
Strong community.
Keep in touch with daily.
These are
daily.
Still my friends. Yes, every day. Either for a Twitter group message, if I'm forcing people to FaceTime with me.
Group chat.
Mala knows this. I call people on FaceTime out of the blue all the time.
Yeah, like, yeah. And LA and I have gone on trips.
We've gone on trips together. We studied abroad together for a year. We spent a year in London together.
Together.
We started a radio station, American Fly, together.
Yes, we did a weekly radio
show.
There's like, you can find it online somewhere.
Yeah, it's still there. It's on something Last FM, something
Rare
FM.
FM.
Rare FM. Rare
at
FM.
UCL.
At UCL. University College
London.
We went to like some of the best schools in the world.
In the nation. In the world.
Oh, UCL
the world.
Was like, I think, number 1 or number 2 in the world.
Oh, yeah.
When
good
we
school.
Attended.
to say, I miss the shopping.
I miss grocery shopping in the UK. All around. I miss passion fruit just being, like, readily available. Like,
Oddly enough.
You can only get passion fruits in the US, like, packaged at a nice Chinese grocery store or in a juice.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they just had them. It was just normal. It was a thing. Right. And everything was fresh. Everything was just like, your yogurt came from a dairy farm an hour away. And it's like, okay, great.
So cute.
So because of that, like, you're cooking for yourself. You're now increasing how much you're walking. Just in the first semester alone, I think I dropped like 10, 15 pounds. Oh, yeah. And I was shook, right? Because, like, I was just like, what do you mean? So then second semester, we also... We also were abroad with, like, two people in particular.
In particular.
Who were like, we have to go to the gym every day. Like,
very fitness.
Very focused. Fitness. Like, training for God knows what. Because they weren't running marathons and they weren't in lifting competitions. No. But they were in the gym every day. It was a part of it. And it was just like, you know what? Let's get the membership.
Let's do it. Fuck it.
Let's do it.
And I loved it.
No, my God. We it was so fun. I remember there was a day where I was not looking that cute. But we'd been going so much that, like, I had learned different machines. Like, my running form. We were
going, like, every day.
Remember?
At, like, 6 a.m.
At 6 a.m. before class. Remember I used to run like a duck? I used to run like a duck,
y'all. You got your form together.
I got my form together. I was doing, like, 3 miles a day.
We were taking the boxing for fitness.
We were. I was, like.
Fine-ass boxing instructor.
Oh, my God. Who loved punching you in your face if you didn't keep your hands guarding your face.
He would, like, jokingly,
yeah,
like,
he'd be like, to the see, face. Guard your face.
I'm like, do it again.
I can touch it.
Do it again.
It was like, hit me.
Touch my face
one more
again.
Time. He was harder.
So cute.
So cute.
And you got listeners. He was Bill.
Bill, dark hair, facial hair,
muscles, shoulders.
And just like, and gave everyone that individual attention they needed.
Yes, he did.
You know?
He gave us. And he knew.
He knew what he was
and he,
doing.
And he would look you in your eyes.
He was a flirt. He knew what he was doing.
And it was mostly women. It was
women. It was all women. It was all women. Boxing for fitness. All these women. He knew.
We also tried to, like,
go to
his
circuit training class. And it was like, this is too much. I want to stand here and box with you.
Yeah. Okay. Spinning is the hardest thing I have ever done. We tried spinning. We did a few spinning classes.
My first spin class, the resistance was on high and I could not pedal and I didn't know why.
I remember this.
Yes.
And it was
I looked so dumb. I was like, this is so hard. Like, but everyone is like,
do this.
Turns out it was literally on, like, don't move. It was so high.
Molasses.
Yeah. But our instructor was actually from, like, California. Remember?
Wait, I remember.
And he moved to London and had this weird thick accent that I was like, but you moved here as a grown man.
So you shouldn't have.
Why do you have this strong accent? Like, it's one thing to pick up words and mannerisms and whatever, but he had a thick, I think you were from the northern, like, Isles of the UK.
You're from Birmingham.
You're from Manchester.
I'm from Manchester.
And then when we found that out, I was like, you're a fraud.
I kind of remember this.
Yes.
Detail is coming back.
This, like,
back.
Little man with his, like, longer hair.
Yes.
Kind of, like, orangey, dark blonde. It was weird. He was very sweaty all the time.
Oh, no, but our boxing for fitness instructor was...
Very attractive.
Everything.
He very much everything. Great.
He reminds me of one of these guys on Love Island.
Yes. Okay.
Which is what we've been watching.
We've been watching Love Island.
LA's an aficionado.
Here's the thing. I've watched every season of Love Island UK. I am currently on season 7. No spoilers, please, because UK right now, they're approaching the finals. But in the US, you can watch it for free on Hulu 2 weeks after. So we're actually, like, 2 weeks behind on everything.
Okay.
Which kind of sucks because I follow a lot of UK influencers on my Twitter. Mm-hmm. And they will reveal to me the winner, I know, this week. And I'm going to hate it, but I'm still going to watch. But, yeah, so we were skinny in London because we were walking all of that.
And working
out. We're cooking for ourselves.
Every day at 6 a.m.
We're working out every day.
And we were also starving because we had no money.
And that. And you know what? I do think...
But we were still eating. We still ate well.
No. But the thing is, like, I think some people are like, oh, y'all were on diet food. It was like, no. Like, I literally just was like living a good life.
We were just living.
Yeah.
Very full. Our days were stacked. But wasn't
it weird? I don't know if it was weird for you, but it was weird for me coming back to Tufts.
Oh, yeah.
Because people looked at you different. People wanted to treat you different. All of a sudden, people who never really, like, spoke to me wanted to take photos with me. All of a sudden, people would be like, oh, I need to get, like, you. I could see the boys, like, not knowing what to do with themselves because Tufts is very anti-Black and colorist.
And fatphobic.
And fatphobic. And now you can see them looking at you, wanting to dance with you. What do you attribute that to specifically? Wanting to hug you, wanting to touch you. Yeah. And it's like, but you didn't give a shit about me a year ago.
Yeah, a semester ago.
A semester ago. Well, it was two semesters. We were abroad for a year. So that was weird for me. I didn't know what to do with that. Mm. And, like, it was gross. It made me feel gross because I was, like, I didn't go out of my way to lose weight, right? Like,
right,
it just
right,
happened
right,
through
right,
life
right.
and living and whatever else. And, like, so coming back and being like, whoa, people are, like, looking at you differently or whatever. And I had to, like, learn a new size. Like, I hadn't been that small in years.
Yeah.
It was weird. I attribute it to a lot of things, but mostly anti-Blackness and fatphobia. And
it was palpable. You noticed it.
I noticed
you experienced it.
I could see it. It was evident. I could feel it. It was very evident.
Because we were going back to a familiar campus with the same people.
Same people, but people who hadn't seen us in a year.
In a year.
Right? Because you're not FaceTiming everyone in the Black and Latino community. You're FaceTiming your friends.
And social media then wasn't what it is now.
It just came out. Instagram had just come out.
I
like,
started my Instagram junior year when we were in London.
My I couldn't start one because my phone was janky. I had a BlackBerry that was cracked half the screen. Remember, I couldn't read anything.
I would have to text people
several times like, hey, for the message to like get to the top of the screen. So people just knew to either like contact Mala or like just not. Or then LA's gonna do something weird as hell so that she can read this message.
And we're gonna make the message
work. I say poor and broke, that's what I was.
Poor and broke, dude. I'm dying because I'm remembering like move out at Tufts. And your mom.
You guys. And let me tell you this story. Yes, let me tell you this story. Mortification.
So we graduate.
Here's the thing.
We graduate from Tufts.
Things you guys should know about me.
We lived in the same building going into across this, the hall.
Going into this story. I was a virgin during college.
Yes.
Okay? Proud of it, not proud of it, doesn't really matter. That's just a fact.
I lost my virginity in college. We'll get to that later.
So this is important because for some reason, my very virgin self really loved condoms. I did. My freshman year, there are photos of me blowing them up in the suite, collecting them from all the different centers.
They were plentiful on
campus. I just thought they were these very interesting things. I had not used one. I had no reason to. Okay? So that is just things you should know.
Yeah.
It's senior year. It's time to go. We are at Latin Way packing up. I barely packed. So my mom got there and she was pissed. My mom was pissed.
Like all the work had to be done.
Yeah, she was like, what?
Oh, my whole situation was a mess.
She was like,
my mom was like
joking. My mom drove from Connecticut. So my family moved to Connecticut. I was in New York, but my family moved to Connecticut.
Backstory.
I don't know why I need to do this all the time. I'm like, you should know this thing, but you don't actually need to know that.
Catch up, you guys.
Anyway, stalk me. God. Be obsessed already. Know every detail so that when I tell you a story, you understand.
You already know. You're locking it in.
So my mom drives from Connecticut to Tufts, and she comes to my room, and she's like, what did you do? Because you've done nothing. And here's the other key part. I wasn't going home, right? I had a bag because I was staying in Boston for another week with Shirley to hang out with her family and friends and do other shenanigans with my friend. Before
you're not done.
It's summertime. I want to be my friend. So my mom is, again, she came to just to get my stuff for me. My mom loves me.
Your mother loves you.
And shout out this Mincy. Room is not done. And shout my mom starts grabbing shit. She's so...
She's just...
pissed. And I'm over here just kind of shuffling around the room, like making it look like I'm doing something. Like, you know, like when the room was empty, I like was like, can someone take a photo of me in this empty room? Like, and my, meanwhile, my mom is downstairs like, let's go. Like, I need to drive away. So...
It's your graduation day.
It is.
We were burned out.
It was after
out.
Graduation. We'd graduated. Look, it's like
we were burned out. We were exhausted. We were tired.
I was like, what, you wanted me to pack? We I had to hang out with friends.
We had to tie up all of our loose ends all of our so loose that ends. We could graduate.
Exactly.
I didn't have time to clean.
Time to clean what?
I have to make sure I that I can graduate.
Found an old video of us hanging out.
Fuck up.
In my suite. You were there. It was wild. Anyways, so back to the packing. So yes. My mom's grabbing all my stuff and she opens my drawer and she takes up one condom, looks at me, and she goes, do you still need this? And I look at her and I'm just like, no.
I do not.
And I'm mortified because I'm still a virgin. And I'm like, my Jamaican mother thinks that I might have been at college slutting it up, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing
please
wrong with it.
Always have sex in the safest way possible.
Always have sex.
With condoms, birth controls, whatever it is, your decision. But I
was. It
was
a drawer
mortified.
Full of condoms.
It was just. A drawer
because you
like,
had a collection of condoms.
Like, why? Ah. Why was that my thing?
You were planning ahead. You're like, just in case, I should have a gentleman
as
collar.
You should, because the last person I had sex with,
no condoms
in December. No, I had condoms. He God. Didn't want to use condoms.
Fuckers.
And when I say the entire night felt like he was putting it on and just throwing it out, just so that it felt to me that he was trying to like waste them, so that he
to
could
run
eventually...
through them.
Yes, and I was like,
motherfuckers.
I. Take care of myself.
They're conniving.
I will never catch anything.
No.
I'm not having anyone's baby.
No.
You will not put a raw dick
I
inside
want a barrier.
Of me.
Give me the barrier.
Okay?
Now.
Until you are, like, in a relationship yep. with me. You
yep.
are my husband. You
yep.
are my man.
We
this
get
is
tested
it.
Together.
We get tested. We have open conversations.
Uh-huh.
Fine.
I agree.
You are not that man, sir.
No.
So, no, we're not doing that. And, yes, we are using condoms, but
wow.
it felt like he was trying to run through them.
They're like that.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's good to have your own stash.
Mm-hmm.
And, honestly, it was
you
like...
You have to.
Yeah.
As a woman, you have to.
You have to. The first time I, like, bought a box was for this man. He was like, just buy a box. We'll go through them. We stopped talking very soon after that. He lied to me.
And here's the deal, too, because these men love to talk about getting trapped and thought.
They're the one trapping. They're the ones trapping. Here's the thing. I hate to say it. Date a lot of bum ass niggas. Like, I really do. And I hate it. Like, they've lived with their moms. I've made more than them. This and that. Whatever else.
They
and
talk
it's like,
about, like, being in gangs.
Yeah.
Casually.
Very all over the place.
To be clear again, Lori has a master's degree from an Ivy League institution.
So why am I doing this to
LA,
myself?
LA is an Ivy League graduate, literally of Columbia University. But, and I was, we were talking about this earlier. I was like, this is not to say don't date those guys.
No.
This is not to say that. This
but that's
just
the thing. I'm clearly very open.
And
but
that's
I was
a,
somebody.
And it's just a fact. You are an Ivy League graduate.
Yes.
And
but
they
not...
are gang members.
They do what they want. And I.
And you also do what you
do
want.
Do what I want. And
they're just different. You just want to do different things.
In this anonymous man's defense.
Yes.
He is
yes,
no
yes,
longer.
Yes. A former gang member,
and he also didn't say that explicitly, so please don't come for me. I need to protect my safety. Like,
see, and this
he
is the
actually
issue.
Didn't say that at all. He said a hypothetical situation,
hypothetically,
and
if
then
he
applied
were
it to himself
in a very realistic
in which I interpreted
way.
It to be you're telling me without telling me, but he is not currently in that situation.
That's beautiful, because if anything, I believe in second chances and growth.
Yes.
I'm all for a former, a felon. Mm-hmm. You already did your time.
Yeah.
You already served your sentence.
Here's the thing.
I'm not against it. We were talking about this today.
I'm not necessarily for.
But I'm not against it.
I'm never going to seek you out
and I just can't meet you like right when you came out. Like,
no.
I have to have met you once you've integrated back into society.
Like, you've done the work.
Yeah, this is like a former life of yours. Like, I formerly was in a gang. I formerly was in prison.
10 to 15 years behind
you. Yeah, this is, yeah, like a lot of time has passed.
And you did less than 10 to 15.
Ideally, you were like a juvenile delinquent. Yes,
like, a nonviolent offense. Nonviolent. I will take offender. A drug, yeah. Whatever. Racketeering.
Okay, did I ever tell you in high school?
Robbery.
This random man called my phone on accident.
And he yes,
like, you yes, the story.
I do remember.
He's like, your voice is sexy, and I was like, is it? Like, 15 years old, an idiot. And we end up talking for weeks, y'all.
No.
Weeks. But I'm like, I can't text this man. Right. So I'm like, is this a house phone? Is he on house arrest? What's going on?
And how did he get this number?
It was random.
And again, the internet was not. It what
wasn't
it is
a thing.
Now.
No, not to this extent. Not I couldn't stalk extent. Him. There was no social media to stalk. And so we're talking all the time, and I'm just like, okay, like, whatever. And he's like a drug dealer. he's definitely a drug dealer.
Definitely.
And I'm like, I don't know how you got my number. I don't know why I've continued this conversation. I'm in high school in Connecticut, but I lived in New York still. And I'm like, this is dumb. And eventually I stopped talking to him. Thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't make the best decisions all the time.
No, you made a great decision.
Actually, you know what? I did make a great decision. I got to know somebody. It didn't make sense for my life at the time. And I set a boundary.
As a child.
As a child. And here's the thing. I do think that, like, for me, when it comes to men, you want someone who's like, I need someone who can go with me, if that makes sense. Like,
keep up.
Go with the flow. Keep up. The kind of banter and conversations I have with my friends
much banter
can range from being like, oh, yes, I want to suck a dick, to let's talk about like the literally economy and the state of education in the world and the state of all of this, right? Like, I need someone who can keep up with that range. And I feel like, one, that sometimes feels very hard, or two, people think it's very like, they get into this very nerdy mindset and it's boring.
It's too much.
I need somebody with a little bit of swag, but can do it all. Like, yes, where is my renaissance, but not in like a bougie way, but like a well-rounded way.
Yes, I think we're done for now.
We recorded
a lot.
We did record a lot.
All right, Marihuaneta, some of you let me know that you tried to use our Mota Glass affiliate code. It should be working. It should be in working order. We see that folks have been using it and folks have been making purchases, and we fucking love that. Mota Glass is Latina and veteran owned. It is a glass company. They make gorgeous bongs and other glass pieces for smoking mota, and we love that and we support. I love my Mota Glass beaker. I have like the big ass one. I don't know, it's 24 inches. I have the big one, I have the huge one, and I love it, and it's such a good smoke, and the glass is so thick, it's like indestructible, and I need that because I'm a monster. So if you want your own Mota Glass bong, support a Latina owned bong company. I think that's really fucking cool, if you ask me. I think it's really fucking cool. Shout out Susie Greens, founder, CEO, genius behind Mota Glass, and use our Marihuaneta affiliate code for a discount off of your next purchase at Mota Glass. Our affiliate code is Marihuaneta P4P. That's Marihuaneta, the letter P, the number 4, the letter P. Marihuaneta P4P at mota-glass.com for your next purchase. You can also head to my Instagram at mala_Munoz and hit the link in my bio for affiliate code links and all that good stuff. All right, Marihuaneras, now is time to take a moment to thank my Marihuaneta patrons on Patreon. You guys are so great because your monthly $10 or $25, we'll get into that in a moment, contribution allows for us to pay our audio editor, to pay our artists, to pay our musicians, and our entire team that contribute to the making of Marihuaneta, a Locatora production. So that being said, one of the incentives to being a Marihuaneta patron is that you get a shout out on every episode
of the podcast. So for $10 a month, you get a shout out on the podcast. You get invited to a monthly smoke sesh. You get access to unedited, extended episodes that nobody else gets to hear. The extended episodes of Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads, live on Patreon. So you can head over to patreon.com/locatora_radio, pledge at $10 per month. Locamores, if you pledge at $25 a month, the Locamores anonymous tier, you get access to all the Marihuanera incentives, as well as Locas por Libros, as well as the Locatora radio tier. See, now every single Locatora production property has its own tier on Patreon. I want to thank our patrons, starting with Gerardo, Alejandra, Ollie, Chelsea, Daniela, Jeanette, Ruthie, Christian, Crisol, Madison, Samuel, Yvonne, Carla, Magdalena, Jasmine, Bailey, Christina, Edna, Selena, Avocado Toast, Rosalina, Sirenia, amazing name, Carla, Dan, Ajopi, and Christina. Thank you all so much for your continued support. If you would like to become a patron, head to patreon.com/locatora_radio. Thank you for lighting up and tuning in to Marihuanera, a podcast for potheads. I'm your host, Mala Munoz. Please visit locatoraradio.com to learn more about us and Locatora Productions. Follow us across social media. I'm at Mala_Munoz. You can also follow us at Locatora_radio. Thank you so much for lighting up and tuning in. Our audio editor is Stephanie Franco. Our Marihuanera jingle is by Crisol Lomeli. Marihuanera logo art is done by the incredible Micah Amaro. This episode written and hosted by me, Mala. Thank you for joining us. This has been a Locatora production.